What one finds through the course of Delphi's history is that early on we will find offerings on behalf of individuals, fairly humble offerings, gradually being replaced by more and more elaborate offerings such as the great bronze tripods that we have, and finally giving way to offerings and dedications not just by individuals but by entire states. So that, for example, if you go to Delphi into the museum now, you can still see the Sphinx erected by the Naxians. Not an individual, but an entire community imploring the god for his help, for his oracle, and then thanking him by putting up a dedication in his honour. Because various states were making these offerings to the god, it became necessary for them to build houses where they could store the various dedications. I mean, these were precious objects of gold and silver. And so we find that throughout Delphi's history, the sanctuary becomes more and more clustered with treasury houses that are put there in honour of the god to store the goods dedicated by states. And the best known of these, of course, is the treasury of the Athenians, which was rebuilt early this century and can still be seen in the middle of the Sacred Way. As Delphi grew in influence from the 8th into the 7th and the 6th centuries, suppliants came to it from all over the Greek world. And as city-states began to grow and to become larger and to take part in the colonial movement of the 8th and 7th centuries, Delphi came to play a role that was central to the affairs of all the Greek states. And this can really be summarized in three ways. First of all, officials came to Delphi on behalf of their entire state seeking a propitious oracle from the god. The best known example of this, of course, is recorded in Herodotus on the eve of the Persian invasions when the Athenians sent a state embassy to Apollo to find out what was going to happen to Athens. And I'm sure that they were hoping that the god was going to say, "Don't worry, everything will be fine." Instead, the first words out of the priestess's mouth were, "Flee. You are all doomed." In what I think is an extraordinarily insightful moment in Herodotus, we find the Athenian embassy going back to the god and asking for a second, better oracle, if he wouldn't mind. And the god was obliging and said, in rather cryptic fashion, that far-seeing Zeus vouchsafed this alone to his daughter, grey-eyed Athena, that the wooden walls would stand fast. And this, of course, then precipitated a further debate in Athens as to what the hell the wooden walls were. Some people said it was the hedge growing around the top of the Acropolis, and believing that, they went to the Acropolis and hid out there. They were eventually slaughtered by the Persians. Others, notably Themistocles, said, no, the wooden walls are in fact the ships. And the entire Athenian state, apart from those who stayed up in the Acropolis, actually departed, moving their women and children and their goods across from Athens to Troezene, and then the men stayed on their boats and fought against the Persians and were, of course, eventually victorious in the Battle of Salamis. Now, that's quite dramatic because what we find there is an entire state policy of the most dramatic kind, a decision to quit the city and to let the city be sacked by the Persians, all predicated on the words of Apollo at Delphi. So this oracle had immense authority and immense influence on the affairs of the Greeks, not just of individuals who might approach the god and say, should I lend my brother-in-law $500, but of entire states shaping their policy on what was said to them by the oracle of Apollo. One of the reasons that the influence of Delphi grew so much in the 8th and 7th century is that it was particularly associated with one of the other great changes we've already talked about, and that is colonization. City-states that were planning on sending out a colony would approach Apollo, and they would ask for his advice and ask for an oracle that would give them some idea as to whether or not it was right to send out a colony and perhaps where the colony should be founded and who might be sent in the colonial expedition. So as colonization picked up in the 8th and 7th century, so too did Delphi's authority. And more than one historian has pointed out that colonization did more for Delphi than Delphi did for colonization. That is to say, it grew in status as a result of the number of colonies being spread around the Mediterranean.